This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I am your host for this first hour. We're going to focus a lot on some of the nuances within the U.S. equity markets, as well as touch on some of the precious metals as we usually do. And I do also want to just outline all those company updates and daily editorials that I post throughout the week on our website, kereport.com. More from traders' perspectives and more from simple portfolio management, trying to make sense of these moves that we see in the markets, in a wide range of markets. I'm kicking off this weekend show with Trader Vic Sparandio. Trader Vic, let's get right into U.S. equity markets. Very much trading in a range throughout this month of June. About two and a half weeks ago, we had some weakness come in on that Thursday when the markets gapped down, but that only lasted really one day and the markets started to get a buy back. What are your thoughts about the stability, the health, overall health of these U.S. equity markets?
All right. Well, the Fed, of course, is the number one catalyst for the market. And basically, buy the dip is still a theme that has to be respected. And it has nothing to do with fundamentals. It has nothing to do with the extreme negative numbers that are coming out. People disregard them. They have this belief that the Fed is there to save the day. And basically, as long as that belief or perception is out there and it keeps making money, nothing is going to change it until you buy the dip, it rallies, and then it crashes through the dip. Like in this case, obviously, it would be the March 23rd lows. The key here is that this is just an ingrained belief, and you just got to follow it. So when the market gets near its highs, you should lighten up, you know, or hedge. And the strongest group, of course, still is the NASDAQ, because of the FANG stocks. But you can start to select and short, you know, against that if you want to hedge. Many of the weaker, obvious groups, the airlines come to mind, you know, the typical groups, because they're not going anywhere for years. I mean, their earnings are going to, I mean, American Airlines, I'm using an example here. I don't like recommending stocks. It's got $60 billion in debt. I haven't seen it. I read that somewhere. But the point is, you can't make money if you have that much debt. You just can't. They can't do stock buybacks. So, you know, the airline business, which is why Buffett sold the airlines, it's just not coming back. But you can certainly buy the dip in the S&P and certainly the FANG stocks. And you as far as the eye can see, you've made money doing that, so there's no reason to change.
I know, Trader Vic, that mentality of the Fed has your back and buy the dip still very prevalent. If economic data continues to not shake investors' confidence, what could start to shake investors' confidence?
What has happened, and I've said this in the sense that this is obvious, outside uncontrollable Fed events, like, for example, China. China is breaking the deal that it made in January and was negotiated in December on trade. As you see, the grains, they're making new lows here virtually. I mean, they're selling off from their little rally. And if China was going to keep its deal the soybeans and the grains would be going up. The markets are telling you that that ain't going to happen. So outside events, when remember the couple of days ago, Navarro came out and said the deal is dead, the market sold off. Trump countered that. I mean, if Trump should have fired the guy, if it isn't true. If it's true, he covered it up. But these outside events, like what happened with oil, now that's being fixed. So, but it's always these unknowns. So, but data is not meaningful because people understand it's occurring. Today, the employment insurance claims, those insurance claims were higher than expected. But yesterday, the market acted almost like, well, you know, we don't care. It's going to be better. And sure enough, today, the numbers were poor, and markets don't care. So fundamentals don't care anymore. It's what the Fed does that the market cares about.
Okay. Let's look at some of these other asset classes, too. You and I discussed the precious metals quite regularly. Gold earlier this week tested, came very close to that 1800 level. On the spot or futures market, I believe it was, got up to 1795 and then pretty quickly reversed. Now is really just trading in the higher part of its range. What's your outlook for gold in this environment?
Okay. Well, let me just suggest that I've been an investor in gold since 94. And I own the spot gold. I own coins and I own also silver. And I also own it in my 401k. So I am biased, but I believe truly that gold is the only investment, use the quote marks around that word, where you can buy it and forget about it, you know, to the degree that you buy a reasonable amount. You know, 20% would be max, but you can buy any amount there. Now, what's going to happen with silver, I just want to add this as a context. See, gold is going up and has gone up and will go up because it's a Tier 1 asset by Basel III. And that means, just in case the investors or the listeners, you have not familiar with that, that in Basel III, they grade what banks own. And if you're a Tier 1, you would be like a bond, like a sovereign bond, not a corporate bond. So there's no capital hit if you own a sovereign bond. And actually, in April of a year ago, the Basel III moved gold up from a Tier 3 to a Tier 1 asset. So basically, any bank that buys gold and pays for it, and we're talking spot gold now, we're not talking stocks or any or derivatives, buy spot gold, there's no capital hit. So this is what's influencing gold to a great degree, more than silver. And this ratio, the ratio had gone to like 130 to 1, where, you know, the typical rule of thumb is it's in the teens. Now it's still 100 to 1, but that's because silver is not a Tier 1 asset, so banks don't buy it, and they're buying gold because they see the handwriting on the wall, so they're using it as a hedge. So that's a solid investment. To me, you're going to break to new highs before the end of the year, and then by next year, you know, you can name a number up 25% next year or whatever number you want to give it. It'll be an unknown at that point. But that's my favorite. Now, again, I'm biased because I own it and have owned it, and it has been successful. It's when you have zero interest rates, gold is far superior to T-bills.
Fair enough. Well, Trader Vic, you ever wanted to look into any stocks, just let me know, because I cover a lot of stocks on a very regular basis. But it's always great having you on the show. Always very interesting comments. I know our listeners very much enjoy what you have to say. So, hey, I appreciate you taking some time this weekend and sharing your thoughts. Have a great rest of your weekend there, Trader Vic.
It's always my pleasure, Corey. Thank you. You're a great questioner, and I appreciate your show.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal, good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am continuing to discuss broad market comments and some of the other correlated markets that we think are of significance. I am chatting with Mike Larson. He writes the Safe Money Report. You can also find Mike on Twitter at RealMikeLarson. I like following Mike on Twitter because every day he's posting interesting charts and his thoughts, his summaries of what he is watching for these markets. Let's start off with the U.S. equity markets here. Mike, it seems like the markets can maintain these levels, or they're really battling at these current levels to fight any sort of falls, but quite frankly, any pullbacks that we have seen have been relatively shallow in nature and bought back relatively quickly. Now, the markets aren't skyrocketing to new highs right now. The S&P stuck more or less in a range over this last month, but this recovery in terms of broad markets has been stronger than most people thought and has gone on for longer than the vast majority of people have thought. What are some of the dynamics that you're paying attention to for these markets that you think tell a bigger picture story?
Sure. Well, you know, you look at what's happened since March. I mean, we had the initial panic sell-off, and then we had a bunch of Fed and intervention from money being thrown at the economy from Congress and so on here in the U.S. And so that the twin factors there, more monetary than fiscal, in my opinion, helped lead to this really powerful rally in the equity markets, or at least in the averages. But it's funny, when you look kind of behind the averages at what's been leading it, it's a handful of mega-cap tech names that everybody owns that you hear about every day. I kind of jokingly call them the S&P 5 because it's like, you know, people want to own only five stocks in the S&P 500. You look at the names like Facebook, Microsoft, Google, and Amazon and Apple. That's what I'm referring to. And just collectively, those stocks as of earlier this week were up 23% year-to-date. The rest of the S&P 500, all the other 495 stocks on average, were down about 11%. So really, if you strip out just five mega cap tech names that have a bigger portion of the market, the overall average market cap, than they have at any time since the dot-com bubble peak, you've got a really narrow market. Now, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean the averages have to tank, but it does show that if anything disrupts the apple cart, you're going to have a lot of stocks that aren't keeping up and a lot of average portfolios with people on Main Street saying, you know, where are my gains? And it's interesting, in the last month or so, last few weeks, what we've seen is behind the scenes renewed deterioration in the market. Part of it is simply that, unfortunately, the COVID numbers are getting worse again in many states in the U.S., even as New York and the metropolitan area up there is doing better. You have places in the South and West where the numbers are going up very sharply. That's leading to concern about, you know, all the things that we were worried about a few months ago. Are people going to keep eating out? Are they going to go on trips? Are they going to go, you know, step on an airplane or go to a concert or go to a baseball game if we're ever going to have shows again? So I think that the renewed fears of economic damage from COVID are part of this. And another factor, though, when you look at it, is that a lot of this, again, was sort of monetary alchemy. The Fed encouraged people to speculate in junk stocks and junk bonds by buying or backstopping wide swaths of the credit markets and the capital markets. The idea was, we're just going to bridge this gap. I mean, if the underlying economy stinks, we'll give people a reason to take their stimulus checks and speculate in bankrupt companies to kind of keep the market going in the meantime. But if the underlying news begins to get worse, which it's starting to do so again, that bridge really ends kind of in a drop-off. And if you're on that path, you're going to end up in the water. So I think that those issues have been with us. They're starting to come to the fore again. Unless we can get this virus thing licked and give people confidence that the economy can rebound, that sort of monetary stimulus isn't going to help or be able to continue to prop up the market. So that's what we're starting to see shift again. And obviously the damage is the worst in many of these sectors that got hit hardest the first time. Your airlines, your cruise ships, your retailers, your mall retailers and so on, all of those stocks, after a very big rally off the lows, are now rolling over again. Because, again, all the same factors never really went away. And with the virus counts going up again, that's got people worried.
So, Mike, in all fairness, even before this COVID shutdown and the shock that came into the market, these FANG stocks, or the top five stocks in the S&P, were still doing relatively well. And then when COVID hit, they were almost looked at as kind of safe investments. I don't want to call them safe haven investments, but money did flow into these stocks, as you have outlined. what's it going to take to draw money away from these five biggest stocks that seemingly can support the market even as the rest of the 495 stocks in the S&P 500 are struggling?
Sure. I think it's going to be the realization and the sort of gradual acknowledgement that, you know, tech stocks have economic risk, too. I mean, if you look at the underlying business models of these companies, again, their balance sheets are healthy. They have a lot of cash, so I don't mean to suggest that they're as bad as some of these, you know, other tech companies that are having real underlying issues. But, I mean, you look at a company like Microsoft, what's it levered to? It's levered to corporate spending on PCs and software, I mean, and consumer spending on PCs and software. What's Apple levered to? The ability of people and willingness of people to spend $1,000 on a cell phone. And you know, if you look at a company like Facebook, for example, what's it levered to? It's levered to advertising spending, companies making enough money that they're willing to throw money into marketing budgets, and consumers spending a lot of time on their Facebook pages and so on and clicking on those ads. So, when you look at those underlying businesses, there's definitely economic vulnerability there and cyclicality to it. So, I think that if the overall market begins to struggle and people realize we have just this market being held up by a handful of companies that have really some more operational risk under them, that's going to be a problem. I mean, you go back to you're seeing the dominance of this handful of companies relative to the rest of the market on the order of which we've never seen to this degree except for one period, and that was the year or so surrounding the peak of the dot-com bubble. Now, I mean, that didn't exactly end well, even though the companies were different back then. It was things like Sun Microsystems and Microsoft, actually, and, Cisco Systems and so on. You had companies back then that everybody thought were going to be great and tech spending was going to go up forever. And, you know, even if the overall economy sinks a little bit, that's not bad for tech because people need to spend on technology and blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, you know, the rug got pulled from under that sector. If it happens again, given that astronomical concentration risk, we're going to have problems. That doesn't mean you're going to short the whole market tomorrow, but I do think people need to realize that the market is very narrow, and that's not generally a good thing when it comes to expecting the gains to persist. And I would also point out that when you look at other markets, they're definitely not as sanguine as the equity market's been. I mean, look at Treasury yields. Yes, they're up off their lows from the panic depths in March, but if you look at something like a five-year Treasury note, it's up one basis point from where it was when everybody was running around thinking the economy was going to fall apart back in March. So the Treasury market never went up in terms of yield as much as stocks went up, and now even those gains that yields had are starting to falter. And it's for a very simple reason. The Treasury market doesn't believe that the exuberance in the equity market's justified. And that's why I think, again, as an investor, you got to be cautious and cognizant of that and not, you know, take anything too crazy here.
Yeah, fair enough. Mike, appreciate your time on this weekend show. Have a great rest of your weekend. Again, everyone, you can follow Mike on Twitter @RealMikeLarson. Thanks, Mike.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We all need to do our part.
And so that we care.
Look, man.
I wear a mask to protect you.
You wear a mask to protect me.
Let's all wear a mask to stop the spread of coronavirus and save lives.
Good reasons for the public and business owners to wear and offer face masks. And here's more good reasons. Get 100 disposable face masks for only $36.99. Or 50 disposable masks, only $18.99 from sunny-bay.com. The best value of level 1 disposable face masks or high-quality N95. Face masks anywhere. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $35. Choose your level of protection and see your selections at sunny-bay.com. Prices are low, but supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or N95 face masks. Ask about volume discounts available for all businesses. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
We'll be right back.
For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns. Mississippi health officials are urging people to wear facial masks and to social distance after the state hit a one-day record total for new coronavirus cases. Jackson, Mississippi Mayor Chokwe Antar Lumumba told ABC News they're watching things.
The first effort is one of communication and admonishment, a gentle admonishment of our residents to take the precautions that we are advising them to take. And I think that as we have seen some of the news cycle change, not only locally but nationally, people have grown less concerned about that over time.
Mississippi Health Officer Thomas Dobbs said if his state is not careful, quote, we'll look like New York. Meanwhile, Texas Governor Greg Abbott told television station KVIA he shouldn't have rushed to reopen bars. There are now more than 5,000 people in the hospital in the Lone Star State. This is USA Radio News. President Trump signed two executive orders of note Friday. One order directs federal law enforcement to prosecute people who damage federal monuments or statues and threaten to withhold money from local governments that fail to protect their own statues from vandals. He wrote in the order that anarchists and left-wing extremists have sought to advance a fringe ideology that paints the country as fundamentally unjust. The president also signed another executive order that changes who the federal government prioritizes in hiring, giving a job applicant skills priority over a college degree. Administration officials say the shift will allow the government to hire a more inclusive workforce. The president's daughter and senior advisor Ivanka Trump said the order will ensure that the government is able to hire based on talent. Also on Friday, a down day on Wall Street, the Dow off 730 points to close at a level of 25,015, the Nasdaq down 260 points, the S&P 500 off 75. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm here with Scott Jusium, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm pretty excited about these next two segments because we are bringing back more of the roundtable format with some of our longest time contributors. So our longtime listeners, you are going to know these two people very well. And even our new listeners, if you listen to the daily editorials, you hear a lot from one of these guests and quite a bit from the other. I am chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor, and Rick Ackerman, founder and editor of Rick's Picks. Guys, let's start off with a little discussion on the U.S. equity markets and their overall health. The markets, I'm looking at the S&P right now, is in a bit of a short-term downtrend. Only about 2 to 3 weeks of this downtrend right now. But there is a little bit of a downward bias. Now, if you want to look at the positive side, you can say that the S&P, at least as we're recording this about halfway through the day on Friday, still holding above that 3,000 level, still holding above the 50-day, 200-day moving average. But, hey, it is trending lower. Rick, let's get your comments first. Your thoughts on the overall health of the U.S. equity markets.
Well, I think in that up and down of Luna ticking higher and then giving it up, I think we're in the throes right now of a pretty serious sell-off. I do have higher targets for Apple, and that's a very key bellwether, trading 360, and I'm kind of looking for 385, and that's the fat lady It hasn't sung yet. On the other hand, I think that the market today is somewhat digesting the reality of maybe there ain't going to be, well, I don't think they can quite come around that there might not be a vaccine, but it's going to be slow. And I think we're not going to get back to even anything remotely approaching normalcy until everybody's convinced there's a great vaccine out there. So I think that we could be at the beginning right now of a pretty significant sell-off.
So, Chris, your thoughts, all considering that, hey, if we don't get a vaccine, there is still a lot of news on the virus, and virus cases continue to climb. Earlier this week, they hit a record for number of confirmed cases just in one day. Is this a major driver to the downside in your eyes?
Well, it is. And as you and I have talked about also, and Rick and I talked about this separately, I think not long ago, you know, the problem is not so much that this virus is coming back for a second act. I continue to believe, as I said to you yesterday, that the numbers are part massaged and part misunderstood. But be that as it may, the biggest problem for risk assets generally, in the stock market specifically, is that too rosy a scenario got baked in. And now that we see states going in the other direction as far as pausing parts of their phased reopenings, or maybe in some cases starting to go back the other direction, I learned minutes ago, I don't know if you heard this in your area yet, Rick, downstate, but here upstate in Jacksonville Beach, up north, all of the beaches to the Georgia border, they're curtailing hours again as far as bars and things like that after just recently letting them reopen and stay open past midnight. So, you know, when you add all of this together, it's a more subdued scenario for economic growth, thus for corporate earnings, particularly for the most sensitive industries to renewed consumer travel, the airlines, the cruise lines, or the restaurants, and all the usual suspects. And yeah, in that context, stocks are vulnerable no matter how much money the Fed prints.
So guys, is it all about shutdowns then coming in cities, in states, whatever it might be, at least in the U.S., to truly shake the market? Because in all fairness, this week we were getting day after day, it seemed like a pretty bad news in terms of new confirmed cases, but the markets weren't exactly plummeting. But hey, who knows? Another shutdown could cause that plummet. Rick, your thoughts?
I don't think it's a shutdown per se, and I think the governors are going more with the, look, we're just not shutting down. People know what they should be doing, know what's expected of them, and they can take precautions as they choose in their lives. The more important thing economically is that whether you're talking about shutdowns, reopening, closing, whatever, people are just really skittish about getting out there, and all the sport, everything that brings people together in closed space is just dead. So we can talk officially about reopening or this or that, but people are just really reluctant to get back into the swing of things.
Chris, what are your thoughts on the balance between shutdowns and the consistent, it seems like daily bad news that we get out of the virus?
Well, here again, and I agree with Rick, you know, there is no stomach pretty much anywhere to go back to these draconian wholesale, shut everything down first and ask questions later regimen that we had when this whole thing first started. Nobody wants to do that. There's not a need for it from the system standpoint because, as I've explained before, you know, the draconian shutdowns and self-inflicted, this new strange depression we're going to have as a result, that gave the Fed already carte blanche to do all of this stuff to, quote, save us that it's been doing since then. So, you know, we're not anytime soon going to see those shutdowns. But again, it's more of a slow Chinese water torture thing than anything dramatic. And as Rick said, you know, you're throwing cold water on all of the activities that people were just starting to tiptoe back into in some way. And let's not forget that the segment of the population that has the most disposable income and savings, and the, you know, all things being equal during normal circumstances, the most interest in spending some of that has got the greatest reason not to, because even though there are exaggerations as far as the virus statistics for most of the population. Those who are older and vulnerable and have pre-existing conditions still need to be extra cautious. And so, you know, again, the rosy scenario that people had baked in not that many weeks ago is being whittled away by the day.
Yeah, that's the one main takeaway, is that this virus hasn't gone anywhere, but I'm just trying to get, I guess, a better handle on it. But, hey, the more tests we do, more positive cases we get as well. Rick, you mentioned that you're watching Apple closely. I was chatting, I believe it was last segment, with Mike Larson. He outlined that in the S&P, you have five stocks that are up about 25% this year, but the other 495 names are down a little over 10% for the year. What does this tell to you?
Well, at the institutional level, and that's where it counts, it's what moves the markets, there's the conviction that four companies are going to carry the whole world on their backs, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, and Google, maybe Facebook. But, you know, a couple of those are just glorified ad agencies. And I think for that reason, the upside is limited. But the illusion that things are going on, good things in the economy, stuff that guys like Larry Kudlow are always seizing on, comes from mainly from the performance of just a few stocks and their outsized impact on the S&P and NASDAQ indices. So, but that said, and as bearish as I am, I'm looking at Apple today at 360, and I think it's still got unfinished business up at 385 before it can top out. So I'm pretty bearish today and for the next few days, but I think we're going to get a turnaround, and I'm not going to be ready to short this market until Apple's at 385. Let me also mention the statistics are absolutely misleading, because I know even in my own area there are thousands and thousands of people who would be unemployed if not for the generosity of these checks that have been mailed out, that at least 10 things over till the end of July. So when everybody gets excited about, especially Trump, about jobs being created and this and that, it's all a lot of twaddle. I mean, there's nothing to it at all.
I guess we are unfortunately out of time for this segment, but I'm having you back on both next segment to wrap up the first hour. What we're going to focus on, though, is a little bit on the U.S. election this year, how that could play havoc with these markets and some of the expectations on market moves depending who wins. We will also touch on the trading in gold this week and also balance that out with what some of the gold stocks are doing. Everybody, stick around. I am going to be right back with Rick and Chris.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
This is a pandemic survival alert, and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meatpacking plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full-body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I am wrapping up this first hour, continuing to chat with Rick Ackerman and Chris Temple. Rick, let's get going right in this segment, discussing first and foremost that island reversal that the U.S. equity markets put in about 2 weeks ago, June 8th. We're in a couple of days on either side of that. We have this island reversal when the markets moved up and then pretty quickly, well, corrected back lower. How are you viewing this island reversal and tying this in with the election that is starting to weigh on everyone's mind? How do you see the election nuances playing into U.S. market moves?
Well, I'm way more bearish than just sort of fulfilling the technical destiny of the island reversal. The S&Ps are just above 3,000 right now, but I see them going under 1,000 eventually. So as far as the election is concerned, as soon as investors sniff out a real possibility that Biden could win, you're going to see all this lunatic price action just sort of go by the wayside. I think that everybody, even the institutions, are going to turn seller, heaven help us. And it's hard to sort of read the election because we're getting all the facts kind of misreported by virtually all media, with the few rare exceptions. I think when people see statues being toppled over on the news shows, it tells me that there's no way that this country is going to entrust the power of the White House to the Democrats, or even Congress for that matter. So I see it. I've been thinking it would be a Trump landslide. However, the mail-in ballot could be a particularly pernicious factor in the election, because I think the Democrats have it hands over the Republicans as far as rigging the election with the mail-in ballot. So that's a big problem. All the Bernie voters who ordinarily would say Biden, I'm not even going to get out of bed to vote for that. They are going to vote for Biden simply because it's not Biden who's going to be our next leader if the Democrats win. If that idea becomes increasingly the perception of investors, you're going to see this, the S&P's head down toward that below 1,000 mark that I've been talking about.
Chris, your thoughts on if Biden is to win this election? Right now, it's so early, there's going to be no doubt a media circus around it. But if anything survives that sort of a result?
Well, as I said, you know, before Rick said that, you know, that's one of the things the market may start to sniff out. You know, I don't trust the polls either. And like Rick, I believe that there's a lot more voters than the establishment media gives everybody credit for, who, even if they have to hold their nose to vote for Trump, they do not like the fact that you have had very overt support for rioting and looting and everything from many Democrat Party elected officials. And, you know, like Trump or not, I still think there's a segment of people, and I hope Rick is correct, that just are going to say, no, we're not going to support that. As much as I dislike Trump, I'm not going to vote for a party that has endorsed this burning and looting we see on the evening news every night. So we'll see. But there's no question, getting, you know, back to isolating these things to the stock market, if Trump loses, and you know, everybody out there that listens to me knows I am far from the Orange Wonder's biggest fan. I piss off Trump sycophants and people with Trump derangement syndrome equally. But the market will not react well if he loses.
All right, guys, let's switch focus a little bit, talk about the gold market. Rick, let's start off with you. Gold made a run earlier this week towards 1800, topped out again right at resistance. But, hey, you know what? Gold is already one of the best performing assets this year. It is still very much in this uptrend, but it has consistently struggled at these key resistance levels. What's your outlook for gold?
Well, I think gold really competes for attention with the broad averages and with the stock market. And, of course, the stock market has been so crazy that who wants to buy gold? Or at least there's no institutional interest in it, or very little. But considering that, you know, gold just keeps – it holds its own. Occasionally it really gets socked in a way that will cause gold bulls to doubt themselves for a day or two. But and I still think it's more in a bullish market rather than a bull market. When it's in a bull market, we'll know. It's going to act like the stock market did between 2009 and recently. It's just going to keep going up and up and up. And but gold – I would say has held its own very nicely against the adversity of a market where the interest is virtually everywhere else. Anybody in the juniors, you know, has been waiting for so long and it's so disappointing. And every time you get thrashed to some new low, you think never again, but they're going to have their day too. So I guess it's really a good time to go against the popular tide in gold and just be a believer, if a cautious one.
So, Rick, it's something that even Chris and I talked about this week and at the tail end of last week. What about that almost positive correlation that we're seeing in terms of gold stocks, even gold juniors, to the U.S. equity markets and, to a little bit of a lesser degree, gold to the U.S. equity markets? If people are excited and confident, they're both moving up together. When people get worried, they're both moving down together.
That's been true except for the last half an hour that we've been talking, because gold jumped $20 even with the stock market still near its low of the day. I don't know why. I'm just looking at the chart right now. So we were down almost 20 bucks. Now we're slightly in the green just since the three of us have been talking. So that tells me that there's still some people out there who want to push once again for a final breakout of the 1775 an ounce level that has been pretty intractable for a while. We're going to get it eventually. It's only a question of time because, again, long term, there is not a scenario in front of us that's really negative for gold. That's not the case, of course, for the base metals, as I've explained a million times. This rip that we've had higher in gold, somebody is trying to push it higher and show that gold is not going to stay joined at the hip, and it's going to reassert itself as a risk asset if this correction in stocks continues. So very interesting development just in the time we've been visiting.
So, Chris, you made the comment that you don't see many environments or that are negative for gold. Everything is pointing positive for gold. What if we get a big deflationary event, or is that more off the table now?
I would never say anything is completely off the table. The Fed and the other central banks, of course, are trying to short circuit the unfolding deflation that actually started in the markets last year. By all of this money that they're printing. They want to take us right through stagflation light and into a broader inflationary melt-up. Whether they succeed or not remains to be seen, because somewhere along the line for a lot of the things they're trying to push the prices up on, there's got to be legitimate demand, and it just ain't going to be there. So we'll see. But don't forget that a lot of gold's run since you had this big move that started in late 2018 has not really been in anticipation of inflation. It's been because gold is the uncurrency. It's been to some extent because of the deflation that started to unfold, which as a consequence had $15 trillion, give or take. We never know what it is. It changes from week to week. But $15 trillion or so of sovereign debt on this planet with negative yields. So with the knock against gold for so long from, institutions to Warren Buffett to others being that gold has no yield. Well, guess what? A lot of government paper doesn't have any yield anymore either. And because of that, a lot of other stuff doesn't have yield. To get decent yield, you've got to hunt around, be diligent and find the better yield stocks in the stock market, or think that the Fed's going to hold your back forever and you can buy junk bonds. But aside from that, it's not like it used to be. So gold was doing well in that environment, and it will again. The distinction will be, whereas gold will do well, whether the story is deflation or inflation or some muddled mess in between where we've been recently. So it's why, as I've said, explained a million times to some people's consternation, gold is merely 8% or so below its all-time high as of right now. Silver is damn near 70% below its all-time high. And there's a reason for that.
All right, guys. Great having you on the show. Thanks for wrapping up this first hour. Always interesting to hear your two opinions. I appreciate all the time you spend with me during the week sharing your updated thoughts on intricate market moves. But taking a big picture look at everything, too, is very important. And man, oh man, these days we just get bombarded with negative news. Trying to filter through all that news and make sense of it is still important, and hey, still being a stock picker, something we talk about and preach every single day. Everybody, thanks for tuning in this weekend. Please keep all the emails coming, fleck@kereport.com. To be sure you check out all those company updates that I release throughout the week, and even check out that webinar that's coming next week with Great Bear Resources on Tuesday. Guys, thanks again for your time. Have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
This is a Corona Crisis Self-Reliance Alert. If you're worried about the power grid in the current crisis and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electrical power, just in case, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited supply of solar backup generators will be available again in the next 2 weeks. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you get off the grid. And unlike gas generators, these solar generators run quietly, emit no fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Dangerous weather, social unrest, or overloaded grids this summer will not be a problem if you go to mysolarbackup.com and get your solar backup generator. We regret that supplies are limited and only available on a first-come, first-served basis. Check availability at mysolarbackup.com. Never suffer painful power outages again. Go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.